I'm letting Steve Wade play a little so Roger Badish can make his way into the studio, and here he is. We are not going to devote this segment of the life and times of Roger Badish much to his the continuation of his career, because this is going to be an ongoing thing as long as I'm ambulatory.
God bless you.
Because we haven't even gotten to his teaching career, why he came back to news, blah, 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 blah. It was interesting. You came in to say hi to Walter Jacobson last weekend. I thought that was really fun.
Well,
he was good, I thought. He's 80 years
excellent.
Old.
Are you kidding? I want to be like him when I'm 80.
Yeah.
I want to be 80.
Yeah, no kidding. No, I thought it was really worth having Walter on just to talk about. That's an interesting
just
career.
History, the history of everything he's done in broadcasting in this town, and the changes that he and Bill Curtis, the tremendous jump forward in news presentation on television in this town that those two made. It was akin to what happened at Channel 7 when they brought in the "quote unquote happy talk,"
yeah.
Which I think I might have mentioned in high school. I sat in on one of the broadcasts because Bill Frink's daughter went to Evanston Township High School.
You never told me.
I don't think we've hit on this.
I
was in high school and I knew his daughter went to school there. They lived in Evanston, and I asked her, could I hang out at Channel 7 with her dad one time? I was there from the morning. He took me around all the place, sat in the newsroom, watched everyone do their thing, saw John Coleman and his weather maps and his machines, and I sat in the studio, off by the door, watching them do the entire newscast. I can still, to this day, draw you an exact copy of that news set.
Oh, my God. What did you think, Roger? What did you think? The Happy Talk was a big deal and a ratings monster for a time. I'm not sure it was in retrospect, you know, when you have, you know, certain stories that, and there were more, you know, there were certainly more murders in Chicago in those days than there are now. I think it's looked at as some kind of like, you know, bozo show at night. And it really wasn't that. There was a lightness to it. How would you
there
describe
was a lightness,
that?
But it was a serious newscast. You had serious professionals presenting the news.
Yeah.
And Fahey Flynn, you don't get any more serious and professional.
Or distinguished.
Distinguished.
Yeah.
Joel Daly, also, who, again, a child meeting his heroes when he comes into the after SAG auditions, and then I'm able to perform with him on some of the presentations.
Did you ever see Joel do his Daryl one-man show?
No.
Oh, fantastic. You can imagine.
Oh, I can,
You can imagine.
Just a warm, loving, wonderful human being. Bill Frink, very serious, a sports professional.
Yeah.
Now you got John Coleman, who, unbeknownst to me at the time, was destined for even greater things, the Weather Channel inventor. And he had to have designed that cube, which is what that was.
Exactly.
And he has a foot lock down on the floor that he would step on and turn the cube. And you would have a green screen on one, you'd have an actual map on another, all that stuff. And so he had the fun stuff, but, you know, most weather people now on TV are kind of the light entertainment.
Well, let's remind, I don't have to remind
you
many,
want to go back to PJ
many
Hoff?
Of the listeners. Yes, PJ Hoff, who had smiling faces, but also this era in Chicago where they had weather bunnies. Remember the weather bunnies who were very, very attractive women, and bunnies was the word for Playboy models.
Exactly, which
and there was
born
a
in Chicago,
there, yes, and there was a whole, you know, a period in this town where one station they may still be doing it for all I can see now. I won't mention many names, but that was about as frivolous as it could get.
Well, because you couldn't play with the news.
Right.
And you couldn't play with the – I mean, you could kind of play with the sports.
Sure.
You know, show some bloopers.
Well, Weigel's wieners and
exactly.
that stuff, yeah.
But you couldn't do anything. The weather everyone took seriously because they wanted to know if they were going to get rained on. But everyone kind of knew that back in the day, before weather radar and satellites and all this other stuff, it was kind of a catch-as-catch-can forecast.
It was like, you know, P.J. Huff's like the something in charge of looking out the window is
right.
What he called it.
Let's take a look at the weather. Yeah. And he'd look at the window. Yeah. It's, if you could, I always go back to the hippy-dippy weatherman.
Yeah.
George Carlin. You know, and what the weather radar is picking up.
Yeah. You know. Well, Walter one day is going to come back because he left. Again, much like you, who has had an interesting, fascinating career in this town, we barely touched on him. Yeah. We didn't even get him to the point where he had to be convinced, he was telling me off air, to join Bill Curtis as an anchorman. He didn't want to be an anchorman.
Really?
And that is arguably the most successful anchor team in this town.
So successful that even though Channel 7 has maintained the same semblance of the origin of Happy Talk News.
Right.
And I hate calling it Happy
Talk. Yeah, same here.
But the same semblance, and every other station in town picked up on it and tried to do it better. And if you look at the ratings, have not been able to.
I know.
The pairing of those two. Not just the pairing, but putting them in the newsroom.
That was the key.
That was unheard of.
Yep.
And they tried to bring them back.
I know.
Channel 2 tried to recapture
magic. Like two or three years ago.
It wasn't that long ago.
It was not that long ago. And
so
it didn't
you can
work.
See the
Well, but
success.
It was also, it seemed to me to just be a, not a joke, but a real ratings grab. And I think they only had them on early in the afternoon.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It would have been very – you really want to try this? Bosses at Channel 2, put them on at 10.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
See what happens.
You mentioned the SAG-AFTRA senior radio players in discussing the great Joel Daly. They have a show coming up on August 10th at 7 o'clock at the Chicago Cultural Center, which is easily accessible, Michigan and Randolph, the old main branch of the Chicago Public Library, and the beautiful Claudia Cassidy Theater. Claudia Cassidy, former legendary drama critic of the Chicago Tribune. How long have you been involved with these folks?
I've been involved with the senior radio players for maybe, I want to say 5 years, about 5 years, five and a half years.
And
I took that year off when I was sick.
Sure.
I wasn't able to perform or anything.
How and why did you get involved?
Well, since I was a little kid, I've always loved radio.
That we know. That we have heard in episode one of The Life and Times of Roger Bennett.
But I used to listen to a lot of the old radio shows, The Breakfast Club. There were still old-time radio shows known as the Golden Age of radio back when I was growing up. So we're talking mid-50s when I discovered radio and what it could bring. And I enjoyed them so much that throughout my early life, I kept exploring that and loved it so much that when I got into junior high, I found in the library, I went out and sought out books on old-time radio. Mm. I found encyclopedias on it, and I have forgotten more than I knew.
Yeah.
Because I haven't stayed up with it on that level because I've had other things to focus on.
Yes, you were working for Harold Washington. You were working for Jane Byrne. Yes. I was distracted by the mayors of the city
Just
of Chicago.
Slightly. But I've always enjoyed it. And then when I started teaching, I had heard about the After SAG senior radio players, but I wasn't senior at the time.
Right.
So, because this was like 25, 24 years ago. But I got in touch with, those were the days, Chuck Shaden had given his approval for two groups, a North Side and a South Side group, to use the title, Those Were the Days, Radio Players.
Mm-hmm.
And I hooked up with the people on the North Side. And I started pulling scripts and rewriting stuff and pulling sound effects and purchasing a sound system and helping them book sites and performing with them. And we had a blast. Unfortunately, I then started teaching full-time and was not able to continue with the group. We did that for 2 years I was with them.
Sounds like you loved it.
I do.
Yeah.
You know how much I love radio. This is a vital, important part of radio and Chicago broadcast history, as the majority of the shows were done here in Chicago.
Yeah. I think people forget that.
Yeah.
I think people forget that.
You know, we throw around the Chicago School of Broadcasting name kind of haphazardly nowadays. But New York was not the center of broadcasting. L.A. was not the center of broadcasting. Everyone came to Chicago to write, produce, create, and broadcast radio programs.
We're going to talk about Roger's distinct and particular involvement with this upcoming show, which is August 10th, 7 o'clock. It's free also, ladies and gentlemen.
Doors open at 6.
Doors open at no tickets needed. Doors at 6, shows at 7. We'll talk about what exactly he's going to do, and then I'm going to play you a thing. I'm going to play for Roger, too. You know, Mark and Maureen Shulman, who were in here, the guys who run the Eli's Cheesecake, are having a show next Sunday to benefit the Happiness Club, which is a group that it's sort of like this. I mean, it's a it's a group that sort of teaches kids to express themselves. So I'm going to play a song from that that you will listen to.
I know we
to,
haven't touched on the teaching thing yet, but
that's for
the 20 years of teaching broadcasting, that was the first exercise that my students did within the history of broadcasting that I taught was an old-time radio show that they
all
produced.
Fantastic. Roger Badish, the one and only. We'll be right back. Stephen Wade. Stephen Wade, the one and only. Cross America is his new CD. I'm here with Roger Badish, who's going to be performing with the SAG-AFTRA Senior Radio Players. It's an it's a professional group, ladies and gentlemen. They recreate old-time classic radio. They've been doing so for roughly two decades now, since the late mid-90s. August 10th, 7 o'clock, doors open at about 6, 6:30. Cultural Center's Claudia Cassidy Theater. What are you doing?
We're doing two episodes. We have an Arch Obler play called Rocket from Manhattan.
That's a good title.
It's a great script. It's about these three people who, for science, take off in a rocket, circle around the moon, and the interactions and the thoughts, because Arch Obler touched on subjects that were so ethereal and thought-provoking in whatever genre he wrote in, that this is going to have you in your seats and thinking by the time they're done.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a great script. It's about a half an hour. And then we are doing a episode of Suspense, or excuse me, Escape. Mm-hmm. I keep getting the two mixed up.
Yeah.
Escape. And this one is a Western. And this is why I like Escape so much, and I've talked with Carl Amari a lot.
You think you're a cowboy? Yeah. Because you relate to cowboys.
Howdy, y'all.
You're urban cowboy. Yeah, Evanston urban cowboy.
But Escape touched on so many different genres. It would have science fiction. It would have westerns. It would have film noir type stuff. And you never knew what the story was, and it just kind of pulled you away. This one is a western called Wild Jack Rhett. And again, it kind of makes you think at the end. And I am the narrator, which in this case you might not think is a big role, like something at the beginning.
I think that's typecasting. What are you doing? Narrator.
Well, you sound like a narrator, you know?
Yeah.
You don't sound like a sheriff.
Yeah, you'll be, Roger, you'll be the newsreader in this thing.
But actually in this, the narrator has quite a role in maintaining the story and the movement of it and setting the atmosphere.
Do you guys rehearse?
Yeah, we just had a rehearsal. We just had a rehearsal Friday, and it went great. We have about 12, 15 people in it.
Wow.
Because we've added some commercials to it and stuff. And it's great. Again, for your listeners, we throw the term SAG after.
Yeah, right. Screen Actors Guild and the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists.
Right. And so these are people who professionally—
Union members.
Union, yes. Very strong union members who perform TV, films, radio, commercials, voiceover work, and we're nationwide. It's not just here in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
If your kids watch cartoons, people who are voicing those cartoons are union members. If you're watching a TV show, they're all union members. If you watch a film, they're all union members. So that's what we're a part of.
Yeah, they're pros.
Yeah,
they're
extreme.
Real pros.
And what was great was, and not that many still around, but some of the members, the older members, were actually in some of these shows back in the 40s.
Wow.
And it's amazing to talk with them.
Oh, I'll bet.
And
I'll bet.
I'm in awe.
Well, this for you, it's like, you know, it's like heroin. I mean, this is your, you know, this is like,
you see, I'm
this is
jumping
like,
in my
this
seat.
Is like your fix. I mean,
it is.
To hear from the people that you listened to as a kid.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah.
You want to read something? Do you have a clip? Or what
Yeah,
we
do. So after the announcer starts the show and the theme on Wild Jack Red, and, we're all set with our little music. I brought a little music to help out. I would have brought my little red bandana.
I would have loved to have seen that.
And your narrator begins. Red Mesa. A little town springing out of the hot, dry prairie beside the Chisholm Trail. A saloon, a hotel, two general stores, and a tiny church where the decent citizenry might pray for salvation. While a wilder element, trail driver, teamster, buffalo hunter, restlessly searched out friend and enemy along the dusty main street. A small hill rose on the western edge of Red Mesa, played with a rash of graves, some marked and cared for, others sinking and forgotten. As the town buried their recently slain sheriff, killed by the outlaw Todd Mallon, a committee of the leading citizens of Red Mesa gathered together at Mayor Wayne's home to decide upon a new sheriff.
Hmm. That's great. That's great.
That's
you seem to get, I just sense the joy you get from doing this kind of thing. You don't get paid to do it?
Well, no.
No, of course
not. Actually, the senior players do this free.
Yeah.
And that's why we have free admission.
Yeah.
I constantly get looks from my wife, even though after 40 years of marriage, she's kind of used to it.
Hey, if she stayed this long, you'd let her look.
She's accused me of loving this more than I love her.
Oh, nonsense.
Yeah.
I know how much you love her.
I know.
But you do love this.
Oh, God, do I love her.
Yeah.
Oh. I really do. I could do this
24/7. August 10th, Thursday?
Yeah.
Thursday at 7 o'clock at the Chicago Cultural Center, Michigan and Randolph, the old main branch of the Chicago Public Library on the second floor. Claudia Cassidy Theater is a great space. It is a great space.
And if you want to hang out a little before, the Tiffany Tower Room or the Tiffany Ceiling Room is right there.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
if you want to walk around a little bit.
If you haven't been to the Cultural Center, it is certainly worth spending a great deal of time there.
Yeah.
Roger Badish and 14 or 15 of his closest friends will be doing this thing.
That's right.
You know, it is amazing to me. Ever amazing to me, all the stuff that goes on in Chicago, and there's no chance to see it all. You know, you met Mark and Maureen Schulman of Eli's Cheesecake fame. They are very behind a thing called the Happiness Club, and there's a benefit for the Happiness Club next Sunday at 6:30 at Park West. They are honoring a guy named Chris Lee as Artist of the Year, who is currently appearing as Lafayette and Thomas Jefferson in the production of Hamilton. Here, Maureen sent a song. Listen to this kid sing. This is some song that Michelle Obama loves and that is of an official song of some food drive or something. But it's a cool song. And this is the Happiness Club is an organization that tries to foster and give kids across the city a chance to, just as you were getting to express yourself, to express themselves through the arts and the performing arts. Here he is singing. This kid's good. You got.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh. Yeah. Oh.
Come on.
You got the power to change all love things you do. So. Get on your feet, it's time to work out. Make that move, I'm gonna show you how. Show people better, they ain't got the box. Yeah, be aware, people around you influence how you grow. So don't hesitate, you gotta let it flow. It's not so hard when you say yes, yes, yes. I'll take control and do my best.
Make a change,
stick,
say,
get up, get out, and make a play.
You can change the game.
it's time you shut in, find your own way. No time to wait, procrastinate, it's do or die. You gotta motivate, deep down inside you know you wanna be. No time to rest, you gotta live the dream. Powerless right here with you, you and me. I know you make it if you believe. Open your mind, don't be afraid, come on, make the change.
That is a great tune, don't you think, Roger? Yeah, this kid should be performing at Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
But he's got a steady job.
He's got a steady
performing
job.
Performing as Lafayette and Thomas Jefferson's Chicago production of Hamilton. He will be the featured star and the guest of honor at the Happiness Club benefit. It is Sunday, 6:30 at Park West. It is thehappinessclub.com. For all the information you may need. It's a fun event. I've been to a couple over the years because Mark and Maureen Shulman are the great benefactors and promoters of this thing. Roger Badish, sitting right here, will be August 10th, Thursday night. You nervous to be part of this show?
I'm excited. I channel my nervousness.
You don't rattle at all, do you?
I rattle, but I channel my nervousness. It's what I always used to teach my kids who were afraid to go in front of a microphone.
Huh.
They couldn't stand. I made them wear headsets. Several students couldn't stand it. They would take the headsets off. I'd come up behind them and hold the headsets over their ears and make them listen to themselves as they did newscasts or old-time radio shows or whatever. And then other times they would swivel in their seat because they were nervous, but their hands were in their laps instead of operating the audio board, which they had to do. I'd come up behind them and hold the seat still and then take their hands and put them on the audio board. So I try to channel, I try to learn from my own lessons, channel the nervous energy into the performance. And, I mean, I'm good with it. The problem, one of the other reasons why I do the radio, I think, is because I can't memorize lines. I have a trouble memorizing lines.
You're on book.
Yeah,
all
I can't,
the time,
you know, it's like every 5 seconds I'll be saying script, line,
Line, help. Roger will be performing with the SAG after senior radio players this Thursday night, 7 o'clock.
And also, we will not be at Claudia Cassidy Theater for the rest of the year. They have a show coming in that's taking up the space. But we will be, later in the year, performing shows at Chief O'Neill's.
On Elston Avenue, one of the great bar restaurants in
we'll
Chicago.
We'll have 4 or 5 additional shows coming up. And if you go to the SAG AFTER website and check out the details, you'll see the announcements come out.
We're together in this. We will promote every one of these
shows.
You got
a deal.
Plus, I love Chief O'Neill's.
You want to come out and try out?
Thank you. No. I'm too nervous. I'm too nervous. We got to take a break. I'll read this very slowly because Roger has to